holding on Gimel Amud Bey's seven lines from the end of the narrow line. Line of employees, that's it. Gimel says, Gufa, getting back to something we said before, Amud Bishurim Levi, Krach V'cholah Samuchloi, a walled city, as well as any place that's nearby it, V'cholah Nira Imoi, and anything else that's seen together with it, in other words, that you can see the walled city from it, or it from the walled city. So all of that is considered like the walled city. In other words, the walled city itself, it's walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, reads on the 15th. So therefore, these places also do. Which again gets into, for example, the question of the neighborhoods of the new Yerushalayim that we talked about yesterday. Those are outside the original walled city, but because of the Samoch HaNira that we're saying over here, then they're able to read on the 15th. So Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Samoch Achapisha Eina Nira, Nira Achapisha Eina Samoch. It means, even if the place is nearby the city, even though they can't see into the city, or Nira Achapisha Eina Samoch, or vice versa. Still they count as one city. The Ritva gives a logical reason for it. He says, because listen, when you have, for example, what's the purpose of a walled city is that, for example, when there's a war, you'll be able to take shelter inside the city. Well, the people of those nearby places are going to do the same thing as well. Different Mephoshim and different Poskim talk about, does there have to be any greater connection between them, for example, as far as municipal services or as far as an Eruv, etc. But basically, we're saying over here that if it's samoch or nira, so the Gemara says bishleim nira afkishen is samoch. I can understand when we're saying a place which is visible even though it's not nearby. Mashkachas lachkan di yosfa b'roi shahar. So you have an example. Let's say, for example, the nearby place is on top of a mountain, so they're able to see from there into the city. So therefore, so it's nira, even though it may not be so samoch, it may not be so close by. But how would you have the other way around where it's close and not visible? So Rav Yirmiyah says, let's say, for example, the outlying area is in a valley, which is low down. Now, the obvious question is, what was the Gemara wondering about? The same way, you could have if it's on a mountain, it's nira, and not that, even though it's not samoch, of course, in a valley, it could be the other way around. There is actually a machloikas rishonim when we're talking about over here of samoch and nira. Do both of them mean that they have to be within a tchum shabbos, when it comes to samoch maybe, but when it comes to nira maybe it would be good enough even if it's outside of tchum shabbos. So the Taz actually in Hilchus Megillah, Hilchus Purim and Shulchan Aruch talks about this and says that our Gemara may bear on this. The Gemara starts by wondering. He has a long explanation that when we count, that if we do say that we count a mill, we would maybe count the mill as it would be on level ground. We don't consider, for example, so if you have the nearby areas on top of a mountain, not necessarily would we count the slope of the mountain, we would consider as if the mountain wasn't there, basically, and measure on that basis, as though it was flat land. So now the question was then, so in that case, why would we do the same? In that case, wouldn't be a reason to necessarily do the same thing with a city in a valley, the Gemara assumed in its Havamina. Because after all, a mountain, you could say, okay, you're not counting the slope of the mountain, but why wouldn't you count the slope of the, valley? That's a different thing. The valley doesn't really have any great importance. And so the answer is essentially that you could say that the little outlying area over there is actually in a valley that has very steep walls, almost like cliffs. So there's no topography. There's no ups and downs to measure. Either way, you're going to get the same value whether you measure as though it was flat land or not. And therefore, so then the determining thing would be whether it's within the Tum Shabbos, according to the opinions that require that. That's what the Taz says. And then there are a couple of other Achronim that also talk about various answers to that. Anyway, so again, you have a machlokes whether for the purpose of nira it needs to be within a tchum shabbos, and again that'll affect the question of how many of the neighborhoods of modern Yerushalayim have to read on the 15th. So as far as I know, all of them do, although there are some of them where the poskim say that maybe they should be reading on the 14th to be on the safe side. Another din, V'amr Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Krach Yoshev Alav Seif Hukaf, a city that was originally settled and only later on was it surrounded by a wall. Such a place counts as a village. Rashi says we're talking about as far as the dinim of Bote Ore Choyma, as far as that the Torah tells us, that if you have a house in a walled city and you sell, and again, the determining thing is if it's walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, just like we're saying here as far as Megillah. So it's only considered a walled city only if the wall was built before the houses. Tosfos says that no, actually we're talking about as far as Kriyas HaMegillah. So my time. So why is that? Because the pasuk says the ish ki yimko beis moshav ir choyma. The pasuk says if a person sells a house of dwelling that is in a city that is of a walled city. So meaning shohukov of a seif yashav. So the implication moshav ir choyma of the settlement of a walled city implies shohukov of a seif yashav. First it was walled, then it was settled. Not that it was settled first and then only later on they surrounded it with a wall. So the question becomes then, if we say in that case, then how do we know with any given city in Eretz Yisrael whether it was walled first or whether it was settled first? We're saying that they found a bunch of walled cities when they came and conquered Eretz Yisrael, but how do they know about any one of them whether it was walled first or whether it was settled first? So the Meiri says, okay, one possibility is maybe they knew Al Pi Adibur, maybe they were told by Ruach HaKodesh which ones were which. He says, and so do other Rishonim, that maybe you don't need that. Most cities, the Ratan says, usually that's how they do. They first build the wall, then they start building houses inside. In other words, they decide that this particular area should be a fortress, or, you know, it's a natural strong point or whatever, and therefore they build a wall, and then they start building houses inside it. So therefore, unless we know it was otherwise, then we can assume it was the right kind. They talk about also, does it count? The fact that Goyim were living in it before, does that make a difference? Maybe you could say that the fact that these cities were beforehand inhabited by Goyim, so therefore that doesn't count. In other words, when Jews come and settle there, it has a wall already, and therefore that's good enough for our purposes. Another din, V'amr Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Krach She'en Be'Asara Baklonin, of a city that doesn't have 10 Baklonin in it. Now we're going to learn in the Mishnah, Daf Hey, about these Asara Baklonin. These are 10 people who are, Rashi says, b'talin l'malachdan. They don't have a regular job, or if they do, they're able to take off from it easily. So that they're always in shul for shachris, and they're always in shul for all the tefillos. Rashi brings from a Gemara in Brachas that says when it's time for davening and Hashem comes there, Kav Yochel, and doesn't find there 10 people, then it's not such a good thing. So therefore, these Asara Baklonim are always there available to make the meeting. So again, you know, we could be talking about that there are people who, for example, are living off a trust fund or an inheritance or whatever, and therefore are able to learn all day. We could be talking about people who have a part-time job, which is enough for them to support themselves, but they're able to have time in the morning and evening to be there. And sure, we could be talking whatever the case. The point is that you need a city to be considered to have a sort of aflanim. The next Mishnah tells us in order for it to be considered a big city and not a village. So now we're saying if it doesn't have a sort of aflanim, then it counts as a kfar, as a village. Now, are we talking about, so Tosfos says, we're not talking about the cities that are walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. Tosfos says those cities read on the 15th, regardless whether they have a Asara Baklonim or not. Many Rishonim disagree with that and say that no, the Gemara is talking about it here, even about a walled city. And then you have, so the Ramban says it means in that case, what we're saying is they go back to being like a regular city and they got to read on the 14th. And a number of other Rishonim, the Ran and some others, say that what it means is that they have their choice. They could read on the 15th if they want, but if not, then they can read on the previous Yom HaKnisa, as we said in the Mishnah. So let's say, for example, the 15th comes out on a Wednesday, then they could conceivably read on Monday, which is 2 days earlier. So whatever the case. So it doesn't have a Asara Baklonim, then it's considered like a kfar. So the Gemara says, my Kamash Malon, what is Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi coming to tell us? Tanena, we learn in the next mission. Ezehi Irgdola, what is considered a big city, Koshi Yeshba Asara Baklonin. Only if it has 10 Baklonin, Pachas Vichana is a Krach. And if it's any less than that, it's considered a village. So what's his Chiddush? The answer is Krach Itzirichalei. The Chiddush is Itzirichalei. The Chiddush is he had to tell us about a Krach, which means a large city. Namely, in other words, the Mishnah had said Ezi Ir Gdola, implying that it's not, that it's an Ir Ktana. But the word Ir itself can mean what we think of nowadays as a village or a town or something. The word Krach specifically suggests a large city. So again, according to Tosfos, we're talking about not a walled one, not one that's walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. According to the other Rishonim, we could even be talking about one that's walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. In any case, the Mishnah is not directly addressing that. That's where Yeshua ben Levi's Chiddush. Afagav the Mikli Lema Alma, even though people often visit it from out of town, and many of them don't do malacha when they come to town, many of them come there whether it's on vacation or whether it's they come there for some particular business purpose, and once they've finished their business, then they're available to be in shul. So you would say in that case, so you're always going to have in such a place, you're always going to have a minion when the time comes. So what's the problem? Why shouldn't it be an Ir Gdola? The point is that no, you need the 10 people to be people who live in that city and therefore are available regularly for shul. So the fact that you have a big city, even though many people visit it from out of town and you'll be able to make up the minion with them, that's not enough. The Amr Rabbi Shur ben Levi, now Rabbi Shur ben Levi says another din in this connection. Krach shechorav all of a sudden Yoshav, a city, a walled city that was destroyed and later on rebuilt and resettled, nigan kikrach. Then it's still considered like a krach. It's still considered like a walled city as far as when you read the Megillah. So the Gemara says, my chorav. What do we mean by it was destroyed? Ilei mechorvu chaymosav. Do you mean that the walls were destroyed? So what's the chiddush? Yoshav ein lo yoshav loy. You're telling me that only if it was resettled and the walls were rebuilt, then you read on the 15th, but otherwise you read on the 14th. The pasuk says about Bote Orechoima, Asher Loi Choima. The pasuk says that the city has a wall, but you have a Kri Uksiv over there actually. The Ksiv is here. The Gemara kind of combines together the Kri and Ksiv. You have Loi Lamed Vav Aleph in the pasuk over there. You have a Kri Uksiv. You have the it's written Loi with an Aleph. It's read Loi with a Vav. We pronounce those the same. I think the Taimonim pronounce them slightly differently. Whatever the case, the point is that the ksiv would imply that the place does not have a wall, asher loy with an aleph choyma, that there's no wall. But the kri is asher loy choyma, that it has a wall. And what does that mean? Why the kri uksiv? It means afa pisha ein loy achshav. It doesn't matter whether the place has a wall now, v'hoya loy kodem lachem. As long as it previously had a wall at the time of Yeshua ben Nun, then that's what determines its status. So therefore, so in other words, so if you have a city that was walled in the times of Yeshua ben Nun and now is not, then you would still read there on the 15th, even if now it doesn't have a wall. So what are we talking about? So what does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi mean when he says all of a sudden Yoshav? So the answer is Ela my chorev shechorev me'asar baplonim. You're right. When Rabbi Shur ben Levi says it was destroyed, he doesn't mean that the physical walls were destroyed. He means the ruchnistic walls were destroyed. Namely, that for a while there were no 10 batlonim over there. But now there are 10 batlonim over there. So now we're talking about, again, according to Tosfos, we're talking about not a city that was walled in the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Again, according to the other Rishonim, they would differ on that point. So the point is, in other words, Tosfos says, the chiddush is, if you have a village that eventually grew and became a big city, then okay, once it became a big city, the pashtus were always going to have asara baklonim. But here, we already had one time where the asara baklonim were gone. So now maybe we should consider it a kfar forevermore and consider that the likelihood is in the future the same thing might happen. No, we're saying that right now that we have the asara baklonim back, then that's good enough for our purposes and it goes back to being a city. And therefore, they read Megillah on the 14th, and they don't move it up to the Yom HaKnisa. Okay. But Amr Rabbi Shur ben Levi, then Rabbi Shur ben Levi says another thing in connection with reading the Megillah. Loid v'oinoi v'geah harashim. These three cities, they're all cities that were originally in the territory of Shevet Binyamin. Loid is more or less the city of Lod nowadays, or some part of it, or someplace nearby it. Oinoi is a place, nowadays it's on the outskirts of Tel Aviv, it's directly north of the airport. Geyach HaRoshim, they're not completely sure where it is. Anyway, so all of those, Mokofis Chaim and Mes Yeshua Ben Nun Havu, you should know that all those places were surrounded by a wall from the time of Yeshua Ben Nun, and therefore they would read the Megillah on the 15th. So Rashi explains, why does Rabbi Shulam Levi have to tell us that? In fact, what Tosfos points out, one of them, Onoi, is actually mentioned in a Mishnah in Erchin, specifically as a wall, as a place that's walled from the time of Rabbi Shulam Ben Nun. The point is, as we're going to see in a second, the walls of those places, the walls that you see, the walls that you could see on those places in the times of Rabbi Shulam Ben Levi, looked much newer. So therefore, he has to tell us that you should know they do go all the way back to the time of Yeshua Ben Nun. So the Gemara asks, Vahani, Yeshua Benani, you're telling me that Yeshua built, or in other words, that these cities were already built in Yeshua's times? Vaha Elpal Benani. We find in a Pasuk in Divra Yamin, someone named Elpal from Shedet Yamin, that it says that he built those cities. Duchdiv, Uvnei Elpal Ever Misham Vashomer. The Pasuk says that it's listing various descendants of Shedet Yamin. The sons of Elpal are Ever Misham and Shomer, or Tanakhs actually have Shomed with a Dalad, but whatever. He built Oinoi and Lloyd and its daughters. Daughters throughout Tanakh, when talking about a city, always means the outlying villages. The way you had in those times, you usually had one major walled city in an area, and then surrounding you'd have villages where the farmers would live and produce food that would be brought to the big city, as we're going to talk about soon, about Mustafa and Mayim and Muslim, we're going to talk about on the bottom of the Yomud. Anyway, so who is it? Now, here the Gemara is evidently taking it that the who goes back on Elpal, but he who had these sons, Avram, Misham, and Shomer, he's also the one who built these cities. Mephoshim on the Pasuk actually say that maybe it's referring to Shomer. Anyway, the point is that whatever the case, we see that now this Elpal and his son Shomer lived after the time of Yeshua ben Nun, the Pashtus, and was saying they built those cities. So the Gemara answers back, V'litai Meich, knew, and according to your own Svara that you're asking from Pesukim and Divrei Yamim, you could say, Osa Benonhu, Osa, the king of Yehuda, this is the great-grandson of Shlomo HaMelech, built these cities. Dichtiv, Vayiven, well, the Pasuk, the Gemara says, Vayiven, Osa, it's Orei HaBetzur, it's Asher Yehuda. There's no such Pasuk, actually. Rashi had a different view, so Vayichavik, Osa, which also there's no such Pasuk. But what it's supposed to be is there's a pasuk in Divrei Yamim by Yiven Orei Metzura Yehuda that also built fortified cities in Yehuda. Now these places are in Shevet Binyamin, but Shevet Binyamin was part of the kingdom of Yehuda at that point. And we see Rashi says we see from the pesukim over there that also strengthened and fortified cities in the territory of Binyamin. So in that case, then what are you, so you, Machshin, who are asking from the Pasuk about Elpal, in that case, why aren't you asking from the Pasuk from Asa, who was even later than Elpal? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar answers now. What it is like this. Hani Mukafis Chaim and Mimes Yeshua Ben Nun Havu. All these three places, like Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi said, they were all surrounded by a wall already in the times of Yeshua Ben Nun. What happened was, Choruv b'nei Pelegesh B'giva, these places were destroyed during the civil war after Pelegesh B'giva. We talked briefly the other day about Pelegesh B'giva. There was a terrible incident in Shevet Binyamin. All the other Shvatim went to make a long story short, all the other Shvatim went to war against Shevet Binyamin, and the cities over there were destroyed, and most of the Shevet was wiped out. We said one of the Simchas of Tu B'Av is that Shevet Binyamin was readmitted into the Jewish people. Anyway, so during all that time, these cities, which are all in Binyamin's territory, were all destroyed. But also Elpal Benami. So now Elpal came in the next generation and rebuilt the cities. Hodu Inpul, later on, during the hundreds of years after Elpal's times, the cities were falling apart again, the walls were falling down, Osa Shatzinu, and Osa came and fixed them up. So in other words, when the Pasuk says, Vayivan Orim, it's sort of Yehuda, it doesn't mean that he built these cities from scratch, it means he refortified them where the walls were in a bad way. And the same way, when it says that Hu Bonas Oinoi, about Elpal, that he built Oinoi and so forth, that it doesn't mean he built them from scratch. It means that he rebuilt the cities that had already been there. Rabbi Hananel apparently has a slightly different gearsay. He says that Elpal also fixed them up rather than building them from scratch. Anyway, the point is that therefore, yes, these cities are from the time of Yeshua Ben Nun. So that's what Rashi points out. That's why That's why Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi has to tell us all of this. If you look at those walls, they don't look like walls from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun. They look like much later walls. So now, therefore, he's telling you, they are much later walls, but the places were already walled in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. The Gemara says, Dekanami, in fact, we can prove that from the Loshon HaPasuk in connection with Asa, Yichtiv, because the previous Pasuk says, or the next Pasuk actually, after Vayivan Orin Mitzur of Yehuda, the next Pasuk continues, why did he build or rebuild or repair these cities? Vayomer LeYehuda Nivne Asa Orin Ma'ela, he, Asa, said to the people of Yehuda, let's build these cities that we should have them as strong points right now when things are quiet. So Miklav the Orim Habum Ikra. So you see, the fact that he's saying let's build these cities implies that there already existed cities in those places which were walled. Shmami Nasa. Therefore, that proves it. That also didn't build them from scratch. So therefore, they are from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. Next, another din. Va'amar of Yehoshua ben Levi. Noshim Chayoves from Mikra Megillah. Women are Chayev in Mikra Megillah. Sha'af Hen Hoyu Ba'oseh Nes. Because they too were involved in that mess. Meaning, in other words, so Rashi says it means, listen, the Gzeira was on the entire Jewish people. Lahashmid la'arug la'abed, etc. I mean, na'avad zakin taf benashim kola. So the women were just in as, were in it just as much as the men. Tosfos brings an explanation from the Rashbam that what it means is more than that. It means the whole mess Purim primarily happened through a woman, through Esther. And the same thing we say about Hanukkah also, we say the same expression, Apein Hoyo Boisan Nes. And they also, a great part of the saving of the Jewish people was accomplished by Yehudis over there, the whole story where she cut off the Greek general's head. And by Pesach also, we say the same expression, and they also, Bishchus Nashim Tzidkanias Nigalu. Okay, Joseph doesn't like that explanation because the expression Apein Hoyo Boisan Nes is a little bit out of place. What do you mean also? Then in that case, it should say, if your nest happened through them. So no, he prefers Rashi's explanation that in all these three cases, the women were just as much threatened by the Gzeira as the men. Anyway, so therefore, so women are chayiv in Mikra Megillah. Now, this gets into the question then, does that mean that women can, that in that case, usually we have the rule in Halacha that to be motzi somebody else, you need to be on an equal level of chiyuv with that person. So now, for example, when it comes to, let's say, Kiddush, there's a question whether women are chayav to the same extent as men, and therefore we say women shouldn't make Kiddush for men. And the same thing in other things. What about over here? We seem to be saying the chiyuv of women is equal to that of men. On the other hand, Tosfos brings from the Halachas Gedolos that says that no, a woman can be motzi other women, but not men. So in fact, there is a multi-way machlokas among the poskim. What exactly is the halacha in this? Is it that a woman can in fact be motzi men? Is it that she can't, but she can be motzi another woman? Or is it that, what about, can she lain for a bunch of women? There are poskim who say that a woman can't lain even for a bunch of other women. So you have different opinions about that in halacha. On top of that, you have the question, if a woman is laning, let's say for herself, or according to the opinions that she can lane for other women, if she's laning for them, would she make a bracha, would she make the same bracha as we do? There are, in fact, Rishonim who learn that the chiyuv of women over here is not really the same as for men. We're saying over here noshim chayavas mikra megillah. Tosfos points out we're not using the expression that they're chayav lishmoya megillah, that they're chayav to hear the megillah, implying that they have the same chiyuv to read it. On the other hand, not all the rishonim agree with that, and in fact, in particular, the marcheshes, who was the last Rav of Vilna before World War II, and he was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, Sashem Yikim Damoy. Anyway, he says that you have those two different chiyuvim, he says. You have, there's the chiyuv to hear the Megillah, and the chiyuv to read the Megillah. He says there's a logical reason to say that women are chayev in one and not the other, because when it comes to Kriyas and Megillah, you have two points. There's the matter of Zikarain, that the Megillah is considered a Zikarain for the story of Amalek, and in that case, women aren't chayiv in that. Women, he points out, women aren't chayiv in the Muhammad to destroy, in the mitzvah of the battle to destroy Amalek, because women don't go to war. Therefore, they wouldn't have that particular chiyuv. On the other hand, then you have the second part of Persevenista, that women are equally chayiv in. But therefore, even if we say that a woman can read the Megillah for herself or for a group of other women, maybe in fact, a number of the Rishonim say that the bracha should be Lishmoya Megillah, or Lishmoya Kriyas HaMegillah, or various Nuschois like that. So the Maisa, there are poskim who say that, for example, if a woman is laning for herself, or also for that matter, when you're going on Mivtza Purim, and you're laning from Mivtza Megillah, and you're laning for women who otherwise, who have not heard Megillah, and there are no men over there, and you already were Yotze Megillah, there are poskim who say that you should in fact make the bracha, or that she should make the bracha, Lishmoya Megillah, rather than the regular bracha, of course, is the regular bracha is what is the regular bracha? Al mikra Megillah. So there are poskim who say that instead you should be saying lishma, that instead she should be saying, or you should be saying for her, lishma ya Megillah. On the other hand, if you did say al mikra Megillah b'diavad, then most of them will say that's okay also. So these are practical things to be aware of when you're going on Mivtza Megillah on Purim. Onward. Purim shechalias b'Shabbos. If Purim comes out on Shabbos, now for us, out in non-walled cities, that can never happen. Purim nowadays never comes out on Shabbos, according to the fixed calendar. But in Shushan Purim, or the Purim of Yerushalayim, and other walled cities, could. So when it comes out on Shabbos, so you don't lane Megillah, as we're going to say on Amud Beis, but Sholem V'Doshin Be'in Yonesh O'Yoyim. We ask and we darshan in the halachas of the day. In other words, so Rashi says actually, we darshan igeres Purim, meaning the Megillah, we darshan about the Megillah in public. Many of the other Rishonim say that we don't mean the Megillah itself, we mean the halachas of Purim. So the Gemara says, my Iyu Purim, why mention specifically Purim? That's correct not only as far as Purim, but after the Yom Tov Nami. The same thing applies really to all Yom Tovim. Gitanya, Moshe Tikkun Lahem Yisrael, Shiyu Shalom V'Doshim Mein Yonesh O'Yoyim. Moshe made a takana for the Jewish people that they should be asking and they should be darshaning and delving into the halachas that are relevant to the day. Hilchas Pesach v'Pesach, Hilchas Atzeres v'Atzeres, v'Hilchas Chag v'Chag. So what's your Shulchan Levi's chiddush that on Purim we do the same thing? The answer is Purim et Tzrichalei. The answer is the chiddush is that you do it on Purim. Tosfos explains, you know, the Gemara's question is, Purim, you don't find a chiyuv to darshan 30 days before. But we're saying you do it on that day. But Yom Tovim, you darshan even 30 days beforehand, and yet you do it on that day. So what's the chiddush of mentioning that specifically on Purim, we darshan boi b'yom, when else are you going to do it? The answer is Shabbos Itzrichalei. The chiddush is when Purim comes out on Purim Itzrichalei. The chiddush is that we have to say that about Purim when it comes out on Shabbos. Ma'ud Tamen Nigzim Shum De Rabba. You would think that we should make a zera that you shouldn't because of Rabba's zera. We're going to learn at the end of Dalet Amud Beis that about Rabba's zera. It's not his original zera, but in other words, he's the one who formulated it and set it out. That the Chachamim made a zera, you don't lane the Megillah on Shabbos because you might take it to a Chacham to learn how to lane, and you're going to carry it four Amos in Rosh Hashanah. So once we said that you can't lane the Megillah on Shabbos, maybe you shouldn't be darshaning about it on Shabbos Yehu, because that you may come to lane the Megillah. So Kamash Malan, therefore, Rabbi Shulchan Levi wants us to know that that's not the case, and you do darshan in about Megillas Esther or about the halacha supporting on Purim Shechal B'Shabbos. An interesting point, by the way, in that connection is the Megillah Muktzah on Shabbos? So there are different opinions about it among the poskim. The generally accepted halacha is that when it comes to a regular Shabbos throughout the year, it's not. It's like any other Kisrei HaKodesh. It's not Muktzah. When it comes to when Purim comes out on Shabbos, or also when Purim comes out on Sunday, so when Purim comes out on Shabbos, we're saying it's Muktzah, because we're saying because of Zera Diraba, but also when Purim comes out on Sunday, then on Shabbos from Plaga Mincha and on, the Megillah is Muktzah, because conceivably from Plaga Mincha and on would be a valid time to be laying the Megillah. So therefore, so already at that time, then you have the Isser, the Zera Diraba, to not lay in the Megillah, therefore the Megillah itself becomes Muktzah from that time on. Another din of Rabbi Shurban Levi, the Omer Rabbi Shurban Levi, Chayav Adam Likris is a Megillah by Laila Ul Shanoi Sabayon. A person has to lay in the Megillah by night and repeat it again by day. And Rashi says this is a Zecher for the nest where they were crying out to Hashem both by day and by night. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Now, Kapitel Chof Days of Tevin, L'Natzeach Al Yelach Shachar, is all talking about the events, is all David writing Beruach HaKodesh about Esther and about the events of Purim. The Gemara in Masechta Yuma explains that Esther herself is called Ayelas HaShachar, and you have various psukim in the kapitel over there that refer to Esther's own situation and the situation of the Jewish people at that time. And the pasuk says there, Elokai Ekra Yoimam, Hashem, I call out by day, V'loy Sana, and you don't answer, V'layla, and by night, V'loy Jumiali, and don't be silent to me. So in other words, we see that they were crying out to Hashem by day and by night. So in the Zecher of that, therefore, we lay in the Megillah by day and by night, or by night and by day. Now, the word Ulashanoisa can have a double meaning. It can mean to repeat it. It can also mean to learn the Mishnayos of it. So, Sover Mina, so the Chachmei Yeshiva thought that when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said this word of his, that he meant L'mikri B'alayla U'l'misna Masnis D'Dabi Yimama, that maybe what he meant is you lay in the Megillah at night, but then you have a chiyuv to learn the Mishnayos of Megillah in the morning. That would be Ulashanoisa. But Rabbi Yumi says to the Chachamim, no, Ludidimi Farshale Li Mine de Rabchiyava Abba. Rabchiyava Abba personally explained to me, it means, going to Amri Inchi, the word Ulashanoisa is like the popular expression that people say, Ever Parsha Zadav Esnia, I'll finish reviewing this Parsha and I'll learn it over again. So in other words, the word Ulashanoisa does not mean to learn the Mishnayos, it means to repeat it over again. So it means we lay in the Megillah by night and we repeat it again by day. It's Banami, they said also, Omer Abchelba, Omer Ula Bira, Chayav Adam Likris, the Megillah Balayla, Shanois Bayoim, a person is Chayav to read the Megillah by night and repeat it by day. Shanema, you have a different pasuk that expresses this. Laman is a Melcha Chavid below Yidom, in order that my Chavid, meaning my Neshama, should sing to you and not be silent. Hashem Alekai, La'ola Maideka, Hashem, I will always thank you. So in other words, the double expression, is a Melcha Chavid, and below Yidom, is talking about is day and night respectively. So what does this have to do with the Megillah? Rashi brings from a medrash from Psikta that this kapitel also kapitel lameda remim Hashem kidi the sunni v'leitzimachta oyvayli, that kapitel also has to do with the events of Purim. In fact, either that medrash or a different one says that when Haman was leading Mordechai in the procession through the streets of Shushan, then Esther was saying this kapitel remim Hashem kidi the sunni in gratitude to Hashem for that. So therefore, it also has to do with Purim, and therefore the double expression lamani tamech chavod and v'lo yidon means a laning by day and by night. The interesting question is, what about them? So what does that mean as far as saying Shechyonu? Usually, you say Shechyonu the first time you do a mitzvah, but not the second. For example, Netilas Lulav, we say Shechyonu the first day. We don't say it the rest of the days. Over here, what do we do as far as Shechyonu by night and by day? On the face of it, we should only say by night and not by day. Tosfos over here says, on the other hand, the day one is the more important one, because that's the one where you have the real Pirsumei Nisa. Tosfos points out that, and other things, you have the other mitzvahs of Purim primarily take place by day. So you have a good deal of discussion about that among the poskim. In fact, there are some achronim, I think the noted Yehuda, for example, who learned that originally the takana was only to read by day, and only later on did they make the takana to read by night. We see, for example, with these people from the villages where we said they read on the Yom HaKnisa, the implication is they're only reading by day, because by night they're not yet in town. So for all those reasons, many poskim say that yes, the even though you made Shechyonu by night, this is one of those exceptions, you will make Shechyonu by day. Here on this, you have a machloikus between the Alter Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek. The Alter Rebbe writes in the Siddur that you only make Shechyonu by night. However, the Tzemach Tzedek says, and you can find it right there noted in the Siddur, that we also say Shechyonu also by day, and that's based on the Tzemach Tzedek disagrees with the Alter Rebbe on that and says that no, we do in fact say Shechyonu by day as well, and that's what we do. And also, of course, the daytime Shechyonu also covers the other mitzvahs of Purim that we're going to be doing during the day. We said in the Mishnah, Elashak Kforim Akdimin L'Yom HaKnisa, we said the villages move up the laning to the, they're able to move up the laning to the Yom HaKnisa. So we said, according to most of the Rishonim, that meant the Monday or Thursday before Purim. We said we mentioned the idea from the Shiltas that it means Yud Gimel, that it means the day of Tainus Esther, and Tainus Esther itself sometimes is movable if it comes out on Shabbos, whatever. So Amar Rav Chanina. So why do we do that? Chachamim hekelu al akfarim. The Chachamim were lenient with the people from the villages. Lias machdimin liyamachnisa, that they can move up the laning. So the yamachnisa kedeshi sapku mayim lozim lachem shabakratim, in order that they will supply water and food to their brothers in the cities. In other words, in the big cities, they don't grow their own food. They depend on the farmers and the villages around there to supply their food. So therefore, so in order that they should be able to supply the food, in other words, it sounds like in order that they should have the free time on Purim to do that, therefore we allow them to do it on the Yom HaKnisa. So the Gemara says, well, remember that of the crack. Now, so you're telling me then that this dispensation of them laning the previous Yom HaKnisa is for the sake of the people in the big cities, in order that the villagers should have the ability to be able to bring them food and water that they're going to use on Purim itself. But we learn in our Mishnah, Chalvius Besheni, we said if Purim comes out on Monday, then the villages and the big cities all lane on that day. The im isa. Now, if you're telling me that the purpose is in order that the people, the villages, should not be so busy on Purim like this, they have to hear Megillah. If they also have to be bringing water and food, they may not be able to. And therefore, we're saying in order that they should have time to bring water and food from their villages, therefore we're going to allow them to lay Megillah early. Well, in this case, they're not laying it early. The im isa. If you're telling me in that case, they should be able to move it up to the previous Yom HaKnisa, which is Thursday. And the idea is, in other words, then the previous Thursday they'll hear the Megillah. Then on Purim day itself, they won't be busy. They already heard the Megillah. Now they'll have time to bring Mayim Muslim. The answer is you can't. Havalahu Asara. If you did that, then they'd be laning on the 10th. Because if you're saying if Purim is on Monday, then the previous Yom HaKnisa, Thursday, is the 10th of Adar. The Chachamim never made the Takana to lane on the 10th. We learned on the first Amud of our Masechta that you only have, we learned in the Mishnah actually, we said that you only have 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. And on Beis Amud Aleph, we learned two different drushes, how we know from the words of the Megillah itself that you only have those days available. So therefore, the 10th is not available. So in that case, it means the B'nai HaKfarim are going to be busy doing both. They're going to have to hear the Megillah as well as supply the water and food. But normally those will be on different days. The Gemara says, okay, Toshma, Chalvius B'chamishi, let's look at later in the Mishnah. It said if Purim comes out on Thursday, K'farim B'yoras, go, let's call it B'yoras. Again, we said the villages and the big cities lane on that day. V'im Issa. If you're telling me that we want to give them time on Purim, that they shouldn't have to be busy having to hear the Megillah because we want them to be able to supply water and food, then fine, let them move up to the previous Yom HaKnisa, which is Monday, and that's no problem. That's the 11th, and the 11th is a valid day for laying in the Megillah. The answer is the Yom HaKnisa lo dachinan. Fine, but we're not going to move from one Yom HaKnisa to another. Once Purim comes out on a Yom HaKnisa, we're going to leave always that the villages lane on that day. And the Meiri gives a logical reason for it, because the Loi Plug, the Chachamim generally don't make distinctions in their Takanas. Once we said you can't move from Monday to the previous Thursday, because that would put it too early, that would put it on the 10th, then we don't want to also say that if it's on Thursday, we should be able to move it to the previous Monday. Otherwise, people are always going to think you can move it to the previous one, and they're going to end up laying it on a day, on the 10th, in a different year, when you're not supposed to. Okay, Toshma. So let's bring another proof. We learn in the next Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amasai. Rabbi Yehuda says, when do we apply this dispensation that the villagers can lane on the previous Yom HaKnisa, even though it's not yet for him? Makam shenichnasim b'sheni v'chamishi. Only when the people from the villages come into town on Monday and Thursday. Avo makam she'en nichnasim b'sheni v'chamishi. But in places where they don't come into town on Monday and Thursday, ein koin osa alabizmana, then they can only lane it on the actual day of Purim itself. Now, the Sakadadah, now, if you're telling me the purpose of this Takana is for the sake of the people in the big city, so that the people of the villages should be able to bring them water and food, so what's the logic? What's the logic? Because the people from the villages don't feel like coming into town on Monday and Thursday, whether it's for their Dine Torah, whether it's for laning, as we talked about on Beis Amud Aleph, whatever the case, because the B'nai HaKfarim are slacking off and they don't want to come into town on Monday and Thursday. Therefore, we're going to make the people of the big city lose that. Or because, therefore we're going to make the people of the big city lose out. That we're going to say that therefore we're not, therefore the villagers are going to say, you know what, then, if we have to come in on Purim and hear the Megillah, then we can't bring in water and food. We don't have the time to do both. So the answer is the Gemara says, you're right. Loy Tema, you have to correct the original statement that we made. It wasn't Kideshi Sakhu Maimu Mazin. It wasn't in order that they should supply water and food, which implies, in other words, that we're doing it for the sake of the big cities. And therefore, we're saying, therefore, let's not keep the Bnei HaKfarim too busy on that day. Instead, it's Ella Mipnation of Sakhu Maimu Mazin Lachan Shibakrakim. It's sort of as a reward for them because they supply water and food to the big cities. Therefore, we give them a break and we allow them to lay in the Megillah early. So now we understand if they're not coming in on Monday and Thursday anyway, then in that case we don't give them that dispensation because it's not a kula for them anyway. They don't deserve a schar because they're anyway not coming in and they're anyway not coming in necessarily and bringing water and food. So once we say that, then that also answers the question about the cases where it's on Monday and Thursday because they're misafkim mayim or mazin. Therefore, we give them a break and we allow them to come in. Since they're anyway coming in on Monday and Thursday, then they can lay in the Megillah. Well, Purim itself is Monday or Thursday, then they can do both. So then there's not a problem. So that's what it is. The fact that we tell them that they can lane, the fact that we allow them to lane on the earlier days is we're saying is a schar, is a reward for them for the fact that they're supplying food to the big city. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Kate that Chalias Basheni Bashabas, Kodim Bayoris Jolas Kohen Rabbi Yenkola. So now in the Mishnah, we went through all the seven possibilities of the days of the week that Purim could fall out on. Again, in our Lo HaKavua, Purim can only fall on four of them. But in those times when they were Makadosh up here, it could be on any of the 7 days of the week. And the Mishnah goes through it. Purim is on Monday, here's what we do. If it's on Tuesday, here's what we do. Now, if you notice in that sequence, we're kind of going backwards in the days of the order of the month. When Purim comes out on Monday, we're saying that the people from the villages are laning on that same day, which is the 14th of Adar. When Purim comes out on Tuesday or on Wednesday, then they're moving it back to the previous Monday, which is respectively the 13th or the 12th of Adar. And we go through like that. Then when Purim's on Thursday, we're back to the 14th of Adar. When Purim is on Friday, then they're laning on the 13th and so forth. So the Gemara says, Maishnod Resha Denochat Sidura Diyarcha, why is it in the first part of the Mishnah, it mentions the days of the month in order, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, or Maishnod Sefer Denochat Sidura Diyomi, why in the Sefer is it going according to the days of the week? In other words, why doesn't the Mishnah tell us? Well, the Mishnah could have told us as follows. When does it happen that you lay in on the 11th if Purim is on Sunday? When does it happen you lay in on the 12th? If Purim is on Wednesday or on Shabbos, etc. Why didn't it do it like that? And the answer is I didn't mishapchile because then you're going to get confused because you have to mention all the days of the week. And if you're going to mention the days of the week out of order in order to put the days of the month in order, it's going to get confusing to remember which one is which. So therefore, nakat sedura diyomi, so it goes according to the order of the days of the week. So we're not actually mentioning in the Mishnah after all. We're not saying explicitly in the Mishnah that if Purim is on such and such a day, then the Kfarim are laning on such and such a day of the month. We're only mentioning the day of the week. We ourselves calculate what day of the month it is. So that way, there's less confusion. Yes, if you were to say, if the Mishnah were to have explicitly said that, for example, when Purim is on Tuesday, then the Kfarim lane on Monday, which is the 13th, then that would get confusing. But like this, we just say they lane on Monday. And you can figure out for yourself what day of the month that is. So therefore, there's less confusion. Okay? We said in the Mishnah, Chalias be'erev Shabbos v'chula. We said if Purim comes out on Erev Shabbos, then we said that, the Kfarim v'ayoros g'dolos move up to the Yom HaKnisa. We said the villages move to the Yom HaKnisa as usual because they move up to the previous Thursday. The ayoros g'dolos, we said, what do we say in the Mishnah? We said if Purim comes out on Friday, rather, what we said was, we said that the Kfarim makdim li Yom HaKnisa, and we said ayoros g'dolos mokofes chayma kodin v'yoyim. both the regular cities and the walled cities all lane on that one day, Friday. Because, again, as we're going to say at the bottom of the Amud, you can't lane the Megillah on Shabbos. Therefore, the walled cities can't lane on Shabbos. So instead, they move it up to Friday. We said they can't move it to Sunday because we said on Beis Aman Aleph, V'lo Yaver, that the Megillah implies that you cannot go past the 15th. So since the 15th itself is Shabbos, they can't delay Kriyas and Megillah until the 16th. However, the Gemara says, Masnis in Mani. Who is our Mishnah like? E Rebbe, and the answer is E Rebbe, E Rebbe Yosi. Our Mishnah could go like either the our Mishnah that says that both the regular cities and the walled cities laying on the same day, on Friday, that could be either according to Rebbe or Rebbe Yosi. My Rebbe, where do we see that Rebbe addresses this? The Tanya. Chalvias be'erev Shabbos, a Braisa says, if Purim comes out on Friday, Kfarim v'yoros g'dolos makdimin l'yom ha'knisa, then the villages and the big cities move back to the Yom HaKnisa. In other words, even though, so Purim's on Friday, what's the problem? You're allowed to lay in the Megillah on Friday. Nevertheless, the Tanakhama of the Braisa says that the big cities also lay in on Thursday, together with the villages. And the Mekof and Chayma read on that day on Friday. So in other words, according to the Tanakhama, the big cities and the walled cities are each being moved back one day. Instead of usually the regular cities on the 14th and the walled cities on the 15th, here are the regular cities 13th and the walled cities 14th. Rebbe says, no, Omer Andi, I say, lo yudokwa yoros mimukayman. The big cities don't get pushed out of their regular spot. They usually would lay on the 14th. They lay on the 14th now also. Rather, the regular cities and the walled cities all lay on that same day. So now, our Mishnah, in other words, cannot go like the Tanakhama of the Braisa, because according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, the big cities are laning on Thursday and the walled cities on Friday, whereas according to the Mishnah, they're both laning on Friday. So the Gemara says, my time at the Tanakhama, why does the Tanakhama say that we move up both the regular cities and the walled cities? So this did, because the Pasuk says in the Megillah, B'chol Shana V'Shana, that you have to celebrate Purim every year, implying ma kol shana v'shana ayoras koyd maslamo kafin, just like every other year and every other kriyas, the regular cities always read one day before the walled cities. Afkan ayoras koyd maslamo kafin, the same way every year the big cities have to be before the walled cities, and therefore the only way to do that is to move up. So given that, again, the walled cities cannot lane on Shabbos and they cannot lane after Shabbos, the only possibility is to move them to Friday. Automatically, the Tanakhama of the Braisa says, given that means necessarily we have to move up the big cities, other than the non-walled cities. Otherwise, they're leaning on the same day, and you don't have B'chol Shana V'Shana. So the Gemara says, so what? The aim of B'chol Shana V'Shana, so what? You could learn B'chol Shana V'Shana differently. Ma Kol Shana V'Shana Ein Nidchen Ayoras Nimukayman. Just like in every regular year, the big cities do not get pushed out of their place. They lean on the 14th. Here also the unwalled cities should not be pushed out of their place. Why should we say that this year is going to be different than every other year and they're going to lay in on the 13th? That's not like B'chol Shana V'Shana. The answer is okay. Shani Hocha Delay Epsher. The Tanakhama would say there's no other possibility. Given that he understands that the regular cities always have to be before the walled cities, then here there's no other alternative, it means that we're going to have to move them both one up. The Rebbe, my timer, where does Rebbe learn from? He says the other way around. He also learns from B'chol Shana V'Shana. But he says, Ma Kol Shana V'Shana Eina Yoros Nidachim Mimkayman. He takes the opposite view. Every other year, the big cities are not pushed out of their place. They lay in on the 14th, no matter what day it is. Afkan Lo Yidachim Yoros Mimkayman. The same way over here. We don't push them from its place. They lay in on the 14th. The Gemara says, but still he could learn like the Tanakhama. The aim of B'chol Shana V'Shana. Why can't he learn like the Tanakhama? Ma Kol Shana V'Shana Ayoras Kod Mislim Okafin. Afkan Nami Ayoras Kod Mislim Okafin. And again, the answer is Shani Hocha Delay Epsher. Rebbe would say it's impossible. If we did that, we would be violating one part of B'chol Shana V'Shana. Namely, that we'd be moving the regular cities from the 14th to the 13th, and we can't do that. So therefore, he says there's no other alternative. It means in this case, it means that we'll fulfill the B'chol Shana V'Shana in one way, but not the other way. In other words, it comes out according to both Rebbe and the Tanakhama, we're saying we can't fulfill both parts of B'chol Shana V'Shana. We have to have one of them give way in favor of the other, and therefore they're arguing which one should give way. So the Ritva explains, in other words, the machlokas between them is basically what's more, you could say the machlokas between them is basically what's more important. The Purim of the regular cities or the Purim of the walled cities. Now, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, for example, that Ramban learns that the Purim of the regular cities is the more important one. As we learned over there, he says that the regular cities, the unwalled cities, were the first ones to start celebrating Purim on their own, without the Sanhedrin, without the Anshei Knes Hagadol even telling them to. The walled cities, we said, according to him, didn't even celebrate Purim until several years later, when Mordechai and the rest of the Sanhedrin told them that they have to. So therefore, according to that, the regular cities are the more important ones, and therefore we would follow Rebbe's opinion and say that we don't want to move them from their day unnecessarily. On the other hand, the Ran takes the view. In a way, the Nes in Shushan was the greater one, because the Jewish people were given 2 days by Ahasuerus to defeat their enemies rather than just one, like every place else. Therefore, in that sense, you could say that the walled cities are more important, and therefore the Tanakhama would be saying that therefore it's more important to keep the advantage of the walled cities over the regular cities, even if that means moving the regular cities. Okay, so again, so our Mishnah that says that both the regular cities and the walled cities lay on the 14th, that wouldn't be according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, but it would agree with Rebbe. Next, my Rebbe Yossi, where do we see that Rebbe Yossi addresses this point? The Tanya, we have another Braisa, Chalvius for Erev Shabbos, if Purim comes out on Erev Shabbos, Mukofim Ukforim Makdimin Liyam HaKnisa, then the walled cities and the villages move to the Yom HaKnisa. So according to the Tanakhama of this Braisa, here the walled cities are laying before the regular cities, and the big cities, the unwalled cities, laying on that day, Friday. So in other words, in that case, you would have the Tanakhama saying that we move the walled cities from the 15th all the way back to the 13th. They're laying one day before the regular city. Rabbi Yossi, I mean, Ein Mokafen, Kodman La Yoris. Rabbi Yossi says, no, the walled cities never come before the regular cities. Ela Ela Ve'ela Kohen Rabbi Yoim. Both groups laying on that day on Friday. So again, let's go through my time in the Tanakhama. Why does the Tanakhama say that we would move the walled cities back to the 13th? Dichtiv, again, Dichtiv B'chol Shana V'Shana. The Pasuk says that you celebrate Purim every year. Ma Kol Shana V'Shana Ayores Ba'Bal Aser. Just like in every year, here's a third factor let's consider. In every year, the regular cities laying on the 14th, and you also have the factor Uzmane Shozeh Lozmane Shozeh, that each one, the regular cities and the walled cities laying on different days. So therefore, in other words, so the Tanakhama is saying, fine, I agree with Rebbe's point from the previous Braisa that we can't move the big city, that we can't move the unwalled cities from the 14th. But if we still have to have that they and the walled cities have to have different days, well, then the only choice is to move the walled cities to the 13th. So Afkan, so the same thing over here. Ayores Ba'Ba'aser will leave the regular cities on the 14th. Uzmane Shozeh, Lozmane Shozeh. But we're still going to preserve the fact that the regular cities and the walled cities are going to be on different days. Fine, it means we're going to move the walled cities all the way back to Thursday, the 13th. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema B'chol Shana V'Shana. Why learn that way? Why not say it means Kol Shana V'Shana En Mokofen Kodman La'Yoris? In every regular year, the walled cities are not before the regular cities, they're after them. Af Kan En Mokofen Kodman La'Yoris. So it should be over here also. And again, the answer is, Shani Hocha Dolay Efshar. The Tanakhama of this Braisa would say there's no other alternative. If you want to preserve the factor that the regular cities should have the 14th, and that the walled cities are going to have a different day, then the only different day that's available is the 13th. My time of the Rabbi Yossi. Then why does Rabbi Yossi say differently? Well, the opposite. He says, B'chol Shana V'Shana. Ma Kol Shana V'Shana En Mokofen Kodman La'Yoris. Just like every other year, the walled cities are not before the regular cities. They're usually after. Afkan En Mokofen Kodman La'Yoris. So here also, you can't have the Mokofen before the Ayoris. So according to him, there's no problem having them on the same day, but you just can't have that the Mokofen should be before the Ayoris. Not like in the Machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rebbe in the previous Braisa. So we were saying that that you always have to have the Ayoris have to be before the Mokofen. Rabbi Yossi doesn't care about that, but they have to necessarily be before, they just can't be after. So they can be at the same time. The Gemara says, "V'aim of a cholshana v'shana ma cholshana v'shana zmanes shozel lo zmanes shozel." Why not? In other years, you have that each place has its own day. The regular city is the 14th. The walled city is the 15th. Afkan zmanes shozel lo zmanes shozel. The same way we should say over here that each one should have its own day, like the Tanakhama, 13th and 14th respectively. And the answer is shiny ha chadalei afshar. It's different over here. Because Rabbi Yossi would say it's impossible, given the constraints that you have to have, that you can't have the Ayodas be after the Mukafim. They can be on the same day, but they can't be after, then therefore the only choice is to put them both on the 14th, says Rabbi Yossi. So our Mishnah could go equally well according to Rabbi Yossi. So it wouldn't go according to Rebbe's Tanakama, who says that in Sitter Kriyos, the regular city is laying on the 13th, which is Thursday. It wouldn't go according to the Tanakama of Rabbi Yossi that the walled city is laying on Thursday, the 13th. Rather, both Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi are saying, each for their own reason, that both the regular cities and the walled city is laying on the 14th, and that's what the Mishnah is saying. So the Gemara says, "V'sava Rebbe Ayoras Lodachinim Le'Maknisa." You're telling me that Rebbe does not hold that big cities can be pushed back to the Yemaknisa. V'hotanya, we learn in a Braisa, Chalias V'Shabbos. If Purim itself comes out on Shabbos, meaning the 14th of Adar, which again we don't have that Kriyos nowadays, but in those days you could have that. So if that comes out, Kfarim Makdimin Le'Maknisa, then the villages move back to the Yemaknisa. They lain on Thursday the 12th. By Yoris Gervis Koran the Ever Shabbos, the big cities, the Tanakama of this Braisa says, lain on Friday, so they move it up one day to the 13th, or Mokofas Choymelamacher, and the walled cities lain on Sunday, which is the 15th, which is the normal day they would lain. Rebbe Omer, and Rebbe says, no, Omer Ani, once the unwalled cities are pushed out of their place anyway, they anyway can't lane on their regular day, the 14th, because it's Shabbos. So once we're moving them back, let's not just move them back to Erev Shabbos, you dochel the Yemaknisa. Then we should move them back to Yemaknisa. And they should lane on Thursday the 12th together with the villagers. So we see that Rebbe holds that the big cities can be moved back to the Yemaknisa. So why doesn't he say the same thing in his Machlokas with his Tanakama? Why doesn't he say the same thing, that we can move the big city, when Purim was on Erev Shabbos, that we move the big cities back to Thursday, the 13th? The answer is, Hochi Hashta. How do you think to compare those two cases? Hosam Zmanim Shabbosu, in the case of the last Braisa that we just talked about, the defined day that they should have been laning is the 14th, comes out on Shabbos. Once we're already pushing them off, once they're unable to lay on Shabbos for the reason of Gzeira Diraba that we're going to talk about in a minute, then we're going to say that they can't. That once we're moving them from Shabbos, we may as well move them to the Yom HaKnisa, since whatever day they lay in, even if they lay in on Friday, it's still not going to be the 14th anyway. V'hocha zmanim erev Shabbos. Whereas over here, the defined time for them, the 14th, is erev Shabbos. So there's no valid reason Rebbe would say to move them from the 14th. What, you're going to say you want to move them from the 14th for the sake of the walled cities? Rebbe doesn't consider that a valid enough reason to move them. So therefore they'd stay on the 14th. But where they have to be moved, because the 14th was Shabbos anyway, then sure, Rebbe says you might as well move them to the Yom HaKnisah. The Gemara says, Keman Ozla Hoda Amr of Chelboy Amr of Huna. Which opinion does it follow? This that Rav Chelboy says in the name of Rav Huna, Purim Shechali is for Shabbos, Akol Nidoch on the Yom HaKnisah, that if Purim comes out on Shabbos, everybody is pushed back to the Yom HaKnisah, to Thursday. And the Gemara interjects, one second, Akol Nidoch on Zach Nidoch. What do you mean everybody is pushed to that? What about the walled cities are going to lane on their regular day, Sunday the 15th? There's no reason to move them from their time. Ella, you're right. What he means is that anybody who's pushed off, anybody who's moved up, will be moved up to the Yom HaKnisah. Come on, to Rebbe. That would be according to Rebbe, because according to the Tanakama of the last Braisa that we had, the second Machlokas that Rebbe had with the Tanakama, then we would say that no, the Tanakama would say that the big cities in that case lane on Friday. So not everybody is pushed back to the Yom HaKnisah, only the villagers. Okay. So the Gemara finishes off. De kulei alma mia megillah v'shabbos leferinan. The bottom line is that everybody agrees that you don't lay megillah on Shabbos. My timer. So why not? Amar Rabba hakol chayovim b'kriyas megillah or b'kriyas shofar, because everybody has to hear megillah. Ve'en hakol b'kin b'mikra megillah, but not everybody knows how to lay it. gzera, shemi yitlena b'yad. So we make a gzera that you don't land the mezuzah on Shabbos because you might take it in your hand. The yelach it's a boki luma. You're going to go to an expert to learn how to land the mezuzah. The yavirana abba amos b'shus rabim, and you're going to carry it for amos and b'shus rabim. Behind the time of the shofar, behind the time of the lulav, and the same reason applies to shofar until lulav, which we learned in the sechter in Sukkah and in Rosh Hashanah. The same concept. It's called zera derabba that applies to all these three things. In all those places we talked about, Tosfos discusses over there and over here, why is it that we mentioned dafka carrying four amos in Rosh Hashanah? Why don't we mention carrying? Why don't we mention carrying from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah? And the answer, Tosfos gives the answer over here and in some other places, that that people are not going to make such a mistake. People are going to notice when they're leaving their house and remember, oh, 1 second, it's Shabbos. But you could conceivably have the Megillah was already in Rosh Hashanah and you're carrying it for Amos and you're not realizing. And also you could have various cases where you picked up the Megillah not intending to carry it outside, and therefore you wouldn't be chayiv d'oraisa even if you did, but the carrying for Amos and Rosh Hashanah, you'd be chayiv regardless. So that's the reason why you don't do any of these, when it comes out on Shabbos. So that's what we were saying, therefore, that if Purim or Shushan, or if Purim, a regular Purim for non-walled cities, or Shushan Purim for walled cities, comes out on Shabbos, then we said we have to move their laning to a different day. So Rabbi Yosef gives a different reason. The reason we don't lay Megillah on Shabbos, because the eyes of the poor people are lifted to Mikra Megillah. Meaning, on the same day when you lay the Megillah is when you give out Matonas Levyonim. You can't give Matonas Levyonim on Shabbos, money is Mukzah. So we don't want to make the laning on Shabbos, because then the poor people aren't going to be able to get their Matonas Levyonim. The Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochim, you learn similar in Braisa. Even though we said that the villagers move up to the Yom HaKnisa, nevertheless, but the villagers, the tzedakah collectors, collect the tzedakah on that day, the Matanas Lev Yonim, or Mechalkin Boi Vayoyim, and they give it out on that day. So Moses says, what do you mean, Afapi Shomru? What do you mean, even though they said, Adam, I'm a Shumda Amru? It's just the opposite, not even though they said. It's because they said that you move up the laning, therefore we're saying you move up the Matanas Lev Yonim. Ella, you're right. What the Braisa means is Hoyo Va'omrush, Korem Akdim in the Yom HaKnisa, since the villagers get to move up to the Yom HaKnisa, also, therefore, Matanas Lev Yonim, after the end of the same day, Govin Bov Yom HaMachalkim Bov Yonim, Mifnei Shein Neim Shalanim Nesuis Mikra Megillah. Because, again, the eyes of the poor people are lifted towards Mikra Megillah, they expect that they're going to be getting their Matanas Lev Yonim then, therefore we don't want to disappoint them, therefore we make sure Matanas Lev Yonim happens on that same day. Avos simcha in an ehegas elabizmana, but the simcha in the Purim Suda, that takes place only on the actual day of the 14th. Because Rashi says the chiyuv of that is individual on every person. So therefore, because after all, there are people who lain on the 14th, so therefore you have kosuminis on that day. So the Suda of Purim takes place on the 14th regardless. Tosfos, by the way, points out, Rabbi Yosef is not giving a reason, he's not arguing with Rabbah, because after all, his reason would only apply to Mikra Megillah. He agrees, you don't blow shofar and you don't take lulav on Shabbos either. He's mentioning just another reason that applies specifically to Megillah. So even, let's say, for example, in the Bais Mikdash, where in general we don't have Shavus, we don't have Isurim of Shabbos, Derabbanan, so for example, we learned in the Sechta Sukkah, that you do take lulav in the Bais Mikdash on Shabbos, but Mikra Megillah would be different because even if you don't have Zera Dirabba, you have this point about wanting to give Matanas Lev Yonim, which you can't do on Shabbos, and therefore even in the Bais Mikdash, they would lay in the Megillah on Friday rather than on Friday or on Thursday, according to the different opinions, rather than on Shabbos. Okay.
Have a good day. Shkoyach.